You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
One trait, especially when you consider our verse on this morning, that young adults, college students, high school, working young adults should have is knowledge. You cannot afford to be ignorant or stupid. You can't afford to be ignorant or stupid. You need to make sure that you are a knowledgeable young man or young woman. You don't want people to take advantage of you. And so there are just certain things you need to know. So much so that knowledge is important that the prophet Hosea said, you know what? God's people or my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, if you are not knowledgeable, you're going to be ruined or destroyed. And book knowledge is wonderful. I said book knowledge is wonderful. Knowing how to use your phone is wonderful. Knowing how to get dressed on your own is wonderful. But the type of knowledge that Hosea was speaking about was divine knowledge, or knowledge that is connected or pertains to God. It is so important, young people, that you not be familiar with just earthly things, but you need to know about the things of God. It's wonderful that you got a parent that knows God, but you need to have divine knowledge for yourself. Because if not, Hosea again said you're going to be destroyed. But then when you consider young people that come up in the church, most of you have knowledge. But you can get to a place to where you're getting knowledge every week, but you're choosing not to receive it, but reject it. And see, that's what was going on with Hosea. They were getting knowledge during his time, but they were not putting it into action. And we don't need to be like that. Would you agree? Knowledge is so important. Consider Proverbs 11 and 9 in part. The proverb writer says, but through knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Deliverance comes based upon what I know. God is going to prosper me, protect me, and cause good to happen to me when I know according to his written and revealed word. My deliverance is tied into what I know. And we know the source of knowledge, right? We know God gives shepherds or pastors according to his heart to feed us with knowledge and what? Understanding. So that says to you that, look, I need to have a special connection to God's shepherd because he's going to feed me with what I need to know. You're striving to get that high school diploma, but they're not going to tell you everything you need to know. You're paying thousands of dollars every semester for a college degree, but they're still not going to tell you everything you need to know. So God steps in and says, I'm going to give you a shepherd, and they're going to feed you what I want you to know. And if you put it into action, whether you're in middle, high school, college, or working, you're going to be delivered. No matter what you go through, I said, you're going to be delivered. Whatever you find yourself wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in, if you just put God's knowledge into action, you're going to be, help me, delivered. And so knowledge, again, is very important. How many would agree by a show of hands? Yeah. And so I make sure I come to church hungering and thirsting for righteousness or knowledge. Now, in our verse, the Apostle John wants us to know about love. Actually, he says that his audience, they know love. They already know. They know about the nature of God. And how many know God is love? Yeah. God is love. And we know that. We know that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know love. We know that if we love God, it don't just need to be with our mouth. Yeah, if we love God, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. We know that love is just more than a feeling. And so you don't need to get it twisted. You're going to be attracted to folk, but that don't necessarily mean you love them. And that don't necessarily mean that they love you. Here, the Apostle John gives a special definition of love. He says that love is seen in what Jesus did when he laid down his life for us. He sacrificed his life for us. That's love, according to this verse. And I got to be honest, I just didn't deserve that much love. Lord have mercy. But I'm so glad he loved me. Yeah, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But the Lord said, I love Baker so much, I want to redeem him from his sin. So I've got the power to lay my life down, and I'm going to do it just for him. But not just for Baker, but for everyone that hears me. He loved us. And he showed us how much he loved us by laying down his life for you and for me. Can I deal with this love a little bit more? Let's look at some truths about what the Bible teaches about the love of God. Let's go to Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 5, and I want you to notice verse number 8. Are y'all with me on this morning? All right. Romans 5 and 8, Paul writes, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord didn't wait till we got our act together. You know how some of us have heard people say, and some of us have said, when I get myself together, then I'm going to come to the Lord. I got to get some things right first. See, the Lord didn't wait. He died for us while we were still practicing sin. Ooh, boy, that ought to make you happy right there. On my way to hell, but he still died for me and went to hell for us. I said he died while we was practicing sin. Lying to folk, he still died for us. Doing what we should not be doing with our body, he still died for us. At the club, at the party, getting hot, he still died for us. Aren't you glad Jesus died for your sin? Don't you know that the wages of sin is death? And if Jesus did not die for our sin, all of us would not only be headed to hell, we would be there for forever. But because he loved us, he said, I got to show you how much I love you. I got to die for you. And it just wasn't like somebody came up and put a bullet in his head and it was a quick death. No, it was a long, painful, excruciating death. I mean, he was stripped down naked. He was beat on. He was spit on. He was whipped 39 times till he was covered from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet with blood, with a whip that had hooks on the end of it with a ball chain. He said, I'm going to do this. Take 39 stripes. Then had to carry a cross about a mile long up a hill with no help. And then got to the top of Calvary and then nailed him to the cross just for you. And we got to be honest, sometimes we forget what the Lord did for us. I said, sometimes we just forget what the Lord did for us. How dare we have the mindset to say, well, I'm going to do this because he'll forgive me. Do you know what he went through and how he shed blood just so you could be forgiven? He died for us while we was having fun in sin. How many know we call sin fun? I said, how many know we call sin fun? But it's only fun for a season. I'm so glad he stepped in when I was in my sin. I'm so glad he stepped in and saved me from my sin. That's love. Look at somebody say, that's love. Yeah. And some of us may have even backslidden and gone back to sin. God got you here to remind you, yeah, you went back to what was killing you, but I died for you so you don't have to go back. You chose to go back, but remember, I paid the price for you. Why are you settling for sin? Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 10. We're still looking at God's love. Look at what the proverb writer said in Proverbs 10 and 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers how much sin? All sin. Love covers all sin. That's how powerful the love of God is. You couldn't stop it on your own, but because of his love, he helped you to stop it. I remember I used to say, man, I'm going to stop cussing. Man, I went good for a few days and went right back. That was the power of sin. But when I learned about the power of his love, it covered all of my sin. Lord, have mercy. I used to say I was going to stop doing things with certain young ladies. But I found myself going right back to doing it. But it wasn't nothing but his love that once I repented, it just covered all of my wrongdoing. I said his love, it covered all of my wrongdoing. And see, that's what it means in one sense to cover. It's what God just completely conceals. He forgets about it. I love you so much, I'm not going to bring it up anymore. That ain't nothing but some love. Because how many know in our day and time, people will say they love you, but they still bring up that old stuff. But see, aren't you glad God ain't like man? God don't bring up that old stuff. It's buried. It's gone. It's in the sea, as the Bible say, of forgetfulness. That ain't nothing but love. Man, if y'all saw some of my old pictures back before I got saved, you'd be like, I know God love him. Because he don't look like nothing like he does now. It wasn't nothing but his love. Somebody shout, I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad he loves. He just covers all of my sin with his love. Romans 8. So once you realize that God loves you, once you realize that he demonstrated his love by laying down his life, once you realize that his love covers a multitude of sin, it should start changing your mindset. Once you experience the love of God for yourself, you and I should be committed to his love. And notice what Paul says, and this is the attitude we should have about God's love. Romans 8:35. Y'all still holding on? Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who? Then he starts naming some what? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Once you experience the love of God for yourself, you don't let anybody or anything separate you from his love. I said, once you experience the love of God, you don't let anything or anybody separate you from his love. You love folk, but you don't love folk so much to where they can separate you from the love of Christ. You go through things in life, young people. Heartbreak, disappointment, letdown, pain, but we don't let that separate us from the love of Christ. Your relationship with God is the most essential thing that you can have while here on earth. And you don't let anybody in church, anybody in school, or anybody in your family, or even yourself separate you from that love. Would you agree with me? Yeah, you don't let anybody separate you from the love of Christ. Notice he didn't say the love of God, the love of Christ. See, in God's love is some anointing. It's some anointing to strengthen you. It's some anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage when you get to going through things. So you got to stay connected on your own. You got to make sure that you value your relationship with God more so than anything or anybody. You don't let anything separate you. You ought to help me say, don't let anything or anybody separate you from the love of Christ. That's right. I'm close to you, but I can't get that close. I like hanging out with you, but I can't hang too much because I don't want anything to separate me from the love of my God. I love him too much. He's been too good to me. He done too much for me. He has helped me more than I could help myself. He done bailed me out time and time again. He done restored me. He done blessed me. What do I look like separating from the love of God? I got to stay in him. Even when I mess up, even when I fall short, I'll crawl my way back to the altar and just say, Lord, help me. Forgive me. Work on me. I know you're not done with me yet. Where am I going to go? I can't go anywhere. I got to stay hooked up with my Jesus. I said, I got to stay hooked up with my Jesus. Am I the only one? Weed ain't that good to separate from God. Sex ain't that good to separate from God. Look how y'all look. Money ain't that wonderful to separate from God. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world but then lose his soul? I got to stay connected to God. I said, I got to stay connected to my God. Peter messed up, backslid. But then you know what? He got back in the place he needed to be. I said he got back in the place he needed to be. Righteous folk fall. Righteous folk mess up. But I'm so glad for his tender mercies. I'm so glad for his loving kindness. It don't matter if you done fall 70 times or 170 times. If you are living, you got another chance to repent and give your life back to Jesus. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He still wants to have a productive relationship with you. Yeah. And sometimes we do them wrong, just like Peter. Am I right about it? I said, sometimes we do them wrong. We stop coming to church for stupid reasons. We choose not to pray for dumb stuff. We quit reading the word, but aren't you glad he got breath in your body where you got another day to fall back in love with Jesus? Yeah, don't let anything or anybody separate you from the love of Christ. Am I right? Yeah. You have to know how to maintain a relationship with God for yourself. Yeah. It's just like when I got married and I devoted my love, my life to my wife as a husband, I got to work that relationship. Yeah, we go through things, but I got to work it. Right? If she ain't happy, if I'm messing up, I got to work it. One writer said, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. When you see that you're not in love with Jesus the way you need to be, you're not committed the way you need to be, you got to work it out. You got to stir yourself up. You got to get in a place that you need to be. Y'all ought to give God a hand clap for his love. Good. Go. And so when we consider our main verse in 1 John 3 and 16, again, we see that John explains that God loved us so much that he was compelled to lay down his life for us. That's how much he loved us. He came and laid his life down. It wasn't taken. He laid it down. Yeah, they murdered him. They killed him. But he allowed it. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to ultimately die. And when you consider that, that's someone who is selfless. Yeah. The opposite of being selfish. Jesus was concerned about others more so than he was concerned about himself. Yeah, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find Jesus saying things like, look, I didn't come to do my will, but the Father who sent me. Then he said things like, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Yeah. And then ultimately he just said, look, I just came to die for the sins of man. Selfless. Thinking about others. Having no regard for himself, but thinking about others. And this is what get me. When he laid his life down for us, it wasn't something that was simple. He had to go through something. Hebrew writer says this, you can, as you're taking notes, Hebrews 12 and 2. The writer says, for the joy that was set before him, look at this, endured the cross and despising the shame. He knew it was going to cost him something to lay his life down. He knew it was going to be a price that he had to pay to be selfless. He knew what came with it. But yet he was still willing to do it. Endured the cross, letting us know it was going to be painful. It's going to hurt. Let me hit you real good, and let's see if that hurt. Let me just whip you with this alligator leather belt I got on, and let's just see if that hurt. Painful. Despising the shame. Could you imagine being stripped naked before a city? Spit on? Beat on, made to stand before the public in that manner and not cover up, that's shameful. Hung on the cross naked, that's shameful. But he said, you know what? Even though it's going to be painful, even though it's going to be shameful, I'll still do it. I love you that much. And see, we weren't there, but it's something in us that bears witness that this is truth. You know that this word, it deals with your consciousness. It deals with the God part of you. We weren't there, but inwardly, I know this is true. I had to be redeemed from my sin, and the only sacrifice that could cleanse me, it had to be a perfect lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was sent to take away the sins of the world. But he did it because he was selfless. John flips it and says, now because Jesus was selfless, likewise, we need to be selfless towards the brethren. I need you to have the mentality to stop being selfish. I need you to remember what Jesus did and apply it to your life. I need you to start thinking about the interest and how to help others more so than yourself. And that's where the challenge come in, because we love self. Am I right about it? And you should love self, right? But as a servant, you have to think about the interest of others. And see, that hit home for me. Because if I'm going to be the father I need to be, I got to think of my sons more so than myself. If I'm going to be the husband I need to be, I got to think of my wife more so than myself. If I'm going to be the pastor God desires me to be, I got to think of the youth and young adults of the MSW more so than I think of myself. Want to go to sleep, but I gotta pray. I want to go to sleep, but I gotta study. I gotta make sure I'm living right so I can be the example for them. I gotta lay down my life. Woo. For the brethren. But it's just not the pastor. It's all of us. I wonder who would be honest and admit that you're selfish. You think about yourself too much. Should be giving God the praise and praising with the brothers and sisters at the church. But you ain't clapping nothing. You thinking about yourself. Need you to show up to practice. Need you to show up to do this, that, and the other at God's house. But you constantly have excuses. Thinking about yourself. Jesus said, if anybody gonna follow me, let him first deny himself. Got time to do everything else except that which pertains to God. You know, some people get in leadership and they fail to realize if they don't step up and be who God wants them to be, their actions affect other folk. Now, we got to pick up the slack because you being selfish. Now, here Jesus is getting beat, spit on, whipped, stripped naked, and was willing to do that. and you unwilling to go pick up some food and bring it back to the MSW. You complaining about that. You complaining about coming to practice for 35 minutes because you're going to miss the game. Thinking about self. Jesus said, no, you got to be selfless. And I love how he broke it down, young folk. He says, lay down your life for the brethren. This is so key. How can we love God who we can't see, but have a hard time loving folk that we can see? I demonstrate my love for God in how I treat you. You demonstrate your love for God in how you treat others. Look at how you treat your parents. That will show if you're selfish or not. Look at how you treat your sister or your brother, your siblings. Now, you got all these friends you nice to, but you mean to your siblings. You selfish thing, you. And you mean. You're supposed to have love one toward the other. My sister checked me one day. I quit talking to her. This was way back when I was y'all age. I was so mad at her, I just stopped talking. I would come, our bedrooms beside one another. I just quit talking to her. I act like I ain't even see you. I'd be on the phone talking to my friends all out, having fun. But then when I see her, I wouldn't say nothing. I started treating her real cold. Till one day she just broke down. You don't love me? What'd I do? Boy, I was a hypocrite and I was wrong. Loving everybody except my own folk. You know, you got folk like that in church. Shouldn't be that way. Got to be selfless. Selfless. Remember what Jesus did. He laid down his life. And this is what get me. You got some students, they'll be selfless for a team. They'll put their body on the line for a team. For a team. But be selfish in God's house for their sisters and brothers in Christ. Y'all ought to help me say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. When I think about Jesus dying and rising from the grave, I think about how selfless he was. All he did, I should be willing to do whatever he requires of me for him and for his people. Would you agree? Yeah. As long as it's in line with his will, I should be willing without complaint. Am I right about it? Lord have mercy. So in my close, let's look at some traits of having a selfless mentality because it's going to take some work. I said it's going to take some work. If you're married, you got to be selfless in that relationship. You just can't be thinking about you. Why you get married? When you get married, it ain't just about you. If you love you that much, stay single. Ain't getting too much help now, but I'm all right. Yeah. That's why I like to tell single folk, enjoy being single. Don't be in no hurry to play house. No, enjoy being single. Because it's a lot that come with relationships. Yeah. I like my privacy, but I give some of that up when I get married. Let me see your phone. Ain't no for what. Ain't no for what. No, that's my wife. She won't see my phone, my texts, my pictures. And it, you hear now. She wide awake now. But when you single, you can say, for what? Why? You ain't, what's going on? Huh? When you start having kids, boy, I'd be wrong if I'm fresh to death and my kids looking like, I mean, I'm just stepping out, just like, yeah, look at me. Then my sons come up here and they just looking real homely. That ain't right. That ain't right. And in church, you should, as you grow, y'all listening to me? God blesses everybody. You should never be in the church where the only one that's getting blessed is the pastor. Something wrong. I said something is wrong. You should be seeing it throughout the congregation. So let's look at some traits of being selfless and having a selfless mentality, attitude, mindset. Because remember, God is going to bless you to be a blessing. But you're not going to be a blessing if you're selfish. When God bless you with a car, yeah, it's to make your life better, but you also use the car he blessed you with to be a blessing to folk. You find ways to be a blessing. God bless you with money. Yeah, you enjoy it and so forth, but you want to find a way to be a what? A blessing. Many of you, God gonna bless you with your own business, and it's not for you to flex and boast and brag. No, God will use you to be a what? To be a blessing. Your gifts, your talents that God gives you, they should help your life, your family, but you also use them to be a blessing. Right? So let's look at this. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 2, and then I'm going to be done. So we're looking at truths about a selfless mentality, because that's what Jesus had in order to lay his life down. Philippians 2 and 8. And being found in appearance as a, help me, man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. To be selfless, young folk, according to this verse, it's going to require humility, obedience, and some pain. Sometimes it hurts to be selfless. But if you have the mentality to where you're going to start being selfless, it's going to require humility, obedience, and understand it's going to come with some pain. Yeah, trying to help certain folk at times, it requires something out of you. Trying to be a blessing. I was listening to some people who were telling me how they were helping behind the scenes with appreciation on last week and how they were putting in long hours and doing certain things. You know what? That's part of being selfless. Sometimes it's going to take some of your hours of sleep away. It's going to hurt. But you just humble yourself and be obedient to what God tells you to do. If God bless you with $1,000, but then he tells you to bless somebody with $200, you may have had visions of doing something with that $200. But you just be obedient. Because God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful. Okay, God, surely you done bless me with $1,000. I got $800 left. Let me just be a blessing to whom you're telling me to be a blessing to. You're not thinking about yourself. You ain't going to get 1,000 ones and wrapping them up in a rubber band and trying to hold it up to. No. You're thinking, how can I be a blessing? Same chapter, Philippians 2, verse 4. Y'all still with me? Yeah. But I love that verse 8. Jesus was obedient to the point of death. I mean, he knew what he was walking into. But he still did it anyways. Philippians 2 and 4. Let each of you look out, Lord, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Boy, that was my verse. When you and I are selfless, you're concerned about the interests of not only yourself, but you're looking out for others. You want a piece of cake, you going in the kitchen, you ain't just going to get yourself a piece of cake. You ask her, hey, y'all want some cake? I'm going in here to get me some cake. You trying to look out for other folk. I'm going to the store. Y'all want me to bring anything back? Now, you may say, well, y'all got some money. But depending on the situation, you may say, I got it. You're looking out for the interests of others. You at the grocery store, you getting your groceries, but then the Holy Spirit tell you, pay for that person groceries right there. Yeah, you're looking out for the interests of others. You pull up to put 20 in your tank, but then the Holy Spirit say, hey, put 20 in her tank. You're looking out for the interests of others, not just yourself. And I like how Paul said, you're supposed to look out for your own interests, right? You're supposed to have your own goals and so forth, but don't just be self-centered. Over the years, when we used to have second services, and many of the young people that could drive, they would leave and they would go get something and then come back so we could go to the second church. And they would run to Wendy's, they would run to different places. And jokingly, but I was doing it for purpose, they would always come back and they sit down there and they'd be eating, I mean, smiling, good time. I'd be like, you bring me something back. And they'd be like, mm-mm. I'm like, you mean you didn't bring me nobody? I didn't know you wanted. But see, if you were thinking about somebody, I was trying to teach him. Ask somebody, hey, anybody want anything? I'm going to Wendy's. I'm finna make a Wendy's run. Yeah, I'm finna make a run. Yeah, you're thinking about other people. Now, you got your job. You making money. And you get your hair cut every 2 weeks. But your little brother, he in there napping. Why not just be like, hey, come on, go to the barber shop with me. You thinking about the interest of others. You got 10 pair of shoes at home that you don't even wear anymore, and they in good condition. Why not just start asking around who wears size 8 and just be a blessing to the brothers and sisters at the shop? You're just not concerned about your interests. You're thinking about the interests of others. Are y'all getting this message? Yeah. You decide to come to church. You ask your homeboy, hey, man, I'm going to church. You want to go with me? Now, whether he say, yeah, no, that's on them. But you thinking about your boy. Hey, man, you want to ride church with me? Come on, man. You ought to go with me. You're not just thinking about yourself. God done blessed you with a car. Now you bring your homeboy. This too much for y'all. Because see, we live in a society now where it's all about self. But God is raising up young people that are not just concerned about themselves, but also about other folk. And the same way Jesus was, we need to be. Am I right about it? Last verse, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. Last verse, and then we out. 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul says, and he died for who? I got one good reader over here. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer, good God, for who? For themselves. But for him who died for them and rose again. So Jesus was just the perfect example. He said, look, we should likewise be selfless. But what I love about the verse, notice he died, but he rose what? Again. He died, but he what? Being selfless has rewards. Whenever you quit just focusing on you and start trying to help others, we see in this verse that being selfless does have rewards. Jesus laid down his life, but he rose again, the Bible says, with all power in heaven and in earth. See, you reap what you sow. And so when you are a helper to other folk, God in turn is a helper to you. Good God Almighty. Do y'all see the secret in the sauce? Do y'all see it? Being selfless has its rewards. No, we don't be selfless just for the rewards. We do it because we're living for him. But we also have knowledge to understand it's a blessing to be a blessing. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us today when we consider his death and resurrection. Don't be selfish. Be selfless. Have that mentality. Even when folk don't appreciate what you do, you don't let that stop you. Even when folk don't recognize you or pat you on the back, don't you let that stop you. You remember, Jesus was selfless and God rewarded him. Likewise, when I am selfless, God is going to reward me. And this is how we should treat one another and others. We should have a selfless mentality, especially when you consider the death and resurrection of Jesus. How many got it? By a show of hands. Let's stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap for his death, resurrection, and being selfless. Come on, let's put those hands together and bless his name. Come on, young people. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your selfless mentality and how you demonstrated love for us. When we was yet in sin, you died for us. And we just say thank you. You laid down your life for us.